and welcome back to the Curious Kid Podcast. I'm really pumped about this episode because I'm very prepared. If you think about it, I've been preparing for this episode for 22 years. That's when I started going to pharmacy school. Let's do this.
Mailbag!
Mailbag! Hi, Olivia and Jacob. Bella, age 9, Millie, age 7, Rory, age 5, and Grace, age 2, just wanted to say how amazing your podcast is. We love that your podcast is short and gives a lot of information. We're curious about medicine and shoes. We recently relocated to Auckland, New Zealand from the United Kingdom and listen to your podcast when Mum drives us to school. We love your podcast. Thanks.
That was such an awesome email. We can't wait to learn more about medicine for Bella, Millie, Rory, and Grace.
We are going to learn a lot, so buckle up. It's going to be hard to cover medicine in just about 15 minutes because there is so much to know. But we will do our best. What's the question of the week?
The question of the week is, what is the most commonly prescribed medicine that children take?
Let me explain the question a little bit. In the United States, there are two different major categories of medicine. They are called over-the-counter medicines and prescription medicines.
Over-the-counter medicines are the medicines you can buy at a store without needing to see a doctor first.
There are lots of medicines available over-the-counter that treat everything from runny noses to headaches to diarrhea and so much more.
But sometimes you need to see a doctor and the doctor will give you something called a prescription.
When you are sick and you go see a doctor, they will give you a diagnosis. A diagnosis is a fancy word for the doctor figuring out what's wrong with you that's making you sick. Once the doctor figures out why you're sick, they might give you a prescription to take to a pharmacy. The prescription has instructions on it for how the doctor wants you to take your medicine.
Once you have your prescription, you take it to a pharmacy and hand it to a pharmacist like my daddy.
And the pharmacist will review the prescription, make sure the medication is safe for you to take, make sure it doesn't interact with other medications you might be taking, and then they fill the prescription. Filling the prescription just means that the pharmacist will put the medication in a container and then put a sticker on the container that gives you instructions on how to take the medicine.
There's a lot of information on the sticker.
Of course there is, because there is so much you need to know to make sure you are taking the medicine correctly. On the sticker, you will find the name of the medicine, the strength of the medicine, how much of the medicine is in the container, and the instructions on how to use the medicine.
For example, the sticker might say, take one tablet by mouth twice a day.
That's right. And if you take the medicine the way you're supposed to, you should start to feel better.
But hang on a second. Why do the instructions need to say the words by mouth? Aren't all medicine taken by mouth?
Not at all. There are so many ways of taking medication, although taking it by mouth is by far the most common. The different ways that medicines can be taken are called routes of administration. Things like tablets, capsules, and liquids are taken by mouth. Medicines can be taken nasally, too. That just means that you spray medicine into your nose.
You used to do that when you had allergies.
That's right. There are eye drops and ear drops, too. Medicines can be used topically, which just means that they are rubbed onto the skin, like you would do with creams, ointments, and lotions.
I apply my medicine topically to treat my eczema.
You sure do. Medicines can even be inhaled so that they go straight into the lungs. Inhaled medications, also called inhalers, are common in kids and adults that have breathing conditions like asthma. Medicines can be taken by nebulization. A nebulizer is a machine that turns medicine into a vapor that travels into a mask that the user wears over the mouth and nose. Nebulizers are often used for many of the same conditions that inhalers are used for in situations where the user might not be able to use an inhaler the correct way.
Medications can even be given by injection.
And those injectable medications can be divided into a few groups. There are subcutaneous injections, which go just below the skin, intramuscular injections, which go into a muscle, and intravenous injections that go into a vein.
There are so many different routes of administration. Why do we need so many different ways of taking medicine?
Great question. Well, if you swallow a medication, like we do with most medications, the juices in your belly break the medicine down. At that point, the medicine gets into your bloodstream, where it is carried around your body so that it can start to make you feel better. In some cases, a medicine has to avoid ending up in your belly because it won't work if the gastric juices break it down. In other cases, medicine needs to work quickly, and time can't be wasted waiting for your belly to digest the medicine. That's when using a different route of administration, like intravenous injection, would make more sense. Also, there are cases where medicines work best when they go straight to the area where they need to work. When I had allergies, my nose was very runny. I used a nasal spray because it put the medicine right where it needed to work, in my nose.
Medicine can be used to help you feel better, but medicine can also be used to prevent you from getting sick.
That's a great point. Oftentimes, we take medicine so we can feel better. If you have a headache, you might take a pain reliever so that your head starts to feel better. But there are also times when it might make sense to take a medicine so you don't get sick.
An example would be if you take a medicine to prevent malaria.
Malaria is a disease caused by mosquito bites, and it is common in some parts of the world. When people travel to the places where malaria is more common, they will often take medicine to prevent them from getting malaria, even if they get bites from infected mosquitoes.
The most important thing to remember is to take your medicine the right way.
If there is only one thing you remember from the episode, this should be it. Medicines are amazing. We are living longer and healthier lives, thanks in large part to the amazing medicines that are available to us. Medicine is really powerful. Just think about it. There are tiny pills out there that are capable of curing terrible diseases. But medicine works best if taken correctly. If you take too much medication, it could be very, very dangerous. Always make sure you understand the correct way to take your medicine so you can be safe and healthy. Okay, Olivia, let's answer the question of the week. What is the most common prescription medication for children?
The most common prescription medication for children is called amoxicillin, and it's an antibiotic.
An antibiotic is a medicine that kills bacteria. Amoxicillin is effective in killing the bacteria that cause lots of infections common in children, like ear infections, sinus infections, and strep throat. Amoxicillin belongs to a class of antibiotics that come from the very first antibiotic, called penicillin. The story about the discovery of penicillin is fascinating.
Penicillin was discovered by a Dr. Alexander Fleming in London in 1928.
And it was discovered totally by mistake. Dr. Fleming worked at St. Mary's Hospital in 1928 when he went on a 2-week summer vacation to Scotland.
Before he left, he didn't bother making sure his lab was clean. He left it messy.
And that turned out being a great thing. In 1928, he was studying a common bacteria called Staphylococcus in his lab. He had a sample of the bacteria in a petri dish that he forgot to cover before leaving for Scotland. When he returns to his lab after vacation, he noticed that mold had started to form on the bacteria. Even more amazing was that he noticed that in all the places where there was mold, the bacteria had died. Maybe it's the mold that was actually killing the bacteria.
He repeated the accidental experiment to see if it worked again, and it did.
He identified the mold as part of the Penicillium genus, so he gave it the name penicillin. It turns out that penicillin was found to be effective against so many terrible bacterial infections, like diphtheria, meningitis, and pneumonia. The discovery of penicillin is possibly the biggest discovery in the history of medicine, and has certainly saved the lives of millions of people since it was discovered less than a century ago. This is what Alexander Fleming had to say about his discovery. When I woke up just after dawn on September 28, 1928, I certainly didn't plan to revolutionize all medicine by discovering the first antibiotic, or bacteria killer. But I suppose that was exactly what I did.
Maybe you should stop asking me to clean my room, Daddy. Maybe I am about to make the next big medical discovery.
That's adorable. But I'm still going to ask you to clean your room. Nice try. Well, that's a wrap for this week's episode.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's podcast, number 146, on medicine.
Great job, Olivia. And great job to Bella, Millie, Rory, and Grace for the therapeutic topic suggestion. Learning about medicine was so much fun. If there is something you are curious about, there are so many ways to let us know so that we can get curious for you. You can leave us a message on social media, like our buddies from New Zealand. You can send an email to curiouskidpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail at 856-425-2324. If you leave us a voicemail with a topic suggestion, we will play your voicemail in the episode when we get curious about your topic. Next week, we will get curious about the sun for listeners in Van Alstine, Texas. As always, thank you so much for listening and getting curious with us.